It's really a pleasure to be here. You know, in different walks of life, you measure success in various ways. You know, in business, maybe you look at Fortune 500. Maybe in business, you see if you can ascend to the presidency, and that's a measure of success. But in learning, you look at your Talmid. And when your Talmidim emerge, and when they have their own Talmidim, so that's a source of great, great nachas. Baruch Hashem, not only Rabbi Ifra, but many of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva, I was zocheh that they were in my shir and they were my talmidim, so it gives me a sense of great, great pride and significant nachas to be able to be here with you. This slot I know is somewhat of a mix, somewhat of a simcha slot. Let me begin with some divrei halacha, then we'll segue into some divrei machshav. You know, I just came from Chutz Laaretz. This was a very, very short trip. In the middle of my stay in Eretz Yisrael, you started saying b'sein talamatar, and Chutz Laaretz is, you know, we don't say it quite yet, 60 days after Tekufas Tishrei, is when we do so. And it's 2 days from Mishnah Berurah exactly what indeed I should do. Should I begin saying it with you? Should I not do so? The Mishnah Berurah is not machriya. What I personally did was, in Berchas Hashanim, I said the same bracha, but in Shema Kaleinu, I said the same talamotra. By doing so either way, one certainly the yotze, and therefore you kind of cover your bases. But the fact that I had an option of doing so, saying it in Shema Kaleinu, is something that is very, very relevant to the following. You know, someone asked me, not, of course, this year in Chutz Laaretz, we didn't begin saying it, but some while ago, that they forgot to say the same Talmud Matar. And of course, if you do so, you have to repeat Shema Esrei. The difficulty was, they forgot this Mincha on Friday afternoon on Erev Shabbos. They didn't tell me about their mistake until afterwards, after like davening was over, they come up to me and say, you know what, Mincha, I forgot to say the same Talamata. Typically, you would have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. You know, the problem is as follows. Repeating the Shemon Esrei would mean they daven another Shabbos Shemon Esrei. In the Shabbos Shemon Esrei, you're not going to mention the same Talamata. Does it go back to daven again when you're not going to make up that which is missed? Normally speaking, you make a mistake in davening, you'll daven again to salvage that which was omitted. But in this particular case, that wouldn't be so. And maybe then I would argue, you know, don't bother davening again. Or maybe you could say, look, you weren't yotzei tefillah. And if you weren't yotzei tefillah, one is obligated to daven. Perhaps the starting point of this issue is the discussion that Tosus raises in Brachas and Daf Chafav Mevei. Some of you are learning the Sechas Brachas now. Is that the case? Fourth parak or no? The beginning? First parak. Okay. The first parak also is a fascinating issue that deals to some extent with Dinei Tashlumin, Moj. Deal with that in the first parak regarding cases of Tefillah. Where Tosus is bothered by the following. Let's assume that it's Rosh Chodesh, and a person forgets Yalav Yavo, Shachris, Yalav Yavo, Mincha, a Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Beis, one is obligated to repeat. Tosus raises the following issue. A person forgot to say Yalav Yavo, Mincha, and Rosh Chodesh. He didn't realize his mistake until tonight, and it's no longer Rosh Chodesh. If I insist that he has to daven again, Tosa says he won't be able to make up Yalav Yavo. If it's not Rosh Chodesh, how can you recite Yalav Yavo? So do we argue, but look, you weren't Yotzei the mitzvah of davening, you have to daven again. Or do you say, daven again, you're going to be reciting the very same words as you davened earlier. Only daven again if you're gaining something. But not in this case. That is Tosus Hashita. Tosus says, when you can be marviach, when you can gain that which was omitted, then daven again. In that case of Rosh Chodesh, Tosus says that lo yarviach klum. You're not gaining that which was missed. And therefore Tosus writes that you don't have to go ahead and daven again. But the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh quotes the Chachmei Provence that maintain you weren't Yotzei Shemon Esrei. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of davening. And as such, regardless of whether in the night slot you're going to be mentioning Yalav Yavo, but nonetheless, you're obligated to repeat the Shemon Esrei. Machlokas Tosus and Rosh, Mechaber writes Simen Kuvches, that the Gemara that you have in Brachas Tav Chof Aleph, you always have an option of davening a Tfilas Nedava, the Gemara Halavai Shispal Adam Kol Hayom Kulo, and therefore the Mechaber writes daven again, but having in mind a Tfilas Nedava. You know, this would be relevant as follows. Someone asked me this question. They forgot Yalav Yavo at Mincha. Didn't remember until Maariv. You know what the problem was? Again, they asked this to me on Shabbos. They forgot Yalav Yavo on Friday that was Chodesh. Tonight was no longer Rosh Chodesh. I'll tell them, the Chabar writes, dive in again, Adaita Dinadava, but the Rambam writes, in Paragalef of Hilchos Tefillah, you don't have the option of a Tefillah Asnadava when it comes to Shabbos. On a weekday, you can always offer a Karban Adava. You have a right to daven a Tefillah Asnadava, but not when it comes to Shabbos. Therefore, I told the person, don't daven again, based on Tosos Hashita of Lo Yarviyakum. So Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, that's Machlokas Tosos Narash. What about the case of a Saint Talamata? A person forgets it on Erev Shabbos, remembers on Shabbos, do you daven again or do you not? So Reb Chaim, in the old editions of Reb Chaim, the first piece, the Chedushei HaGrach al HaShas, was exactly this issue. And here Reb Chaim maintained as follows, that maybe Yalav Yavo not, like Tosa says, because maybe Yalav Yavo is not an inherent part of the Shemon Esrei itself, but it's an ancillary, a secondary Azkara, you have to mention it, but you wouldn't argue that the Shemon Esrei is flawed if it's missing. A typical Shemon Esrei would not have that at all. But Reb Chaim maintained that that's not true of a Saint Talamata. The Saint Talamata is an inherent part of Birchas Hashanim, and therefore, if you don't recite it, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, and a person is obligated to go ahead and to daven again. Not all agree with that Reb Chaim. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, my great-grandfather, and the Tshuvas and Siman Nun Dalet disagreed and maintained that maybe one could argue the opposite is true. Because, let's assume, for example, you forget the same Talamata in Birchas Hashanim. As mentioned, you have a right to make it up in Shema Kaleinu. Doesn't that indicate that it's not an inherent part of the bracha? It's something that's worthy of mentioning, but if you have options, you can mention it here, but you can also mention it there. Doesn't that indicate it's not part of the fabric of the Cheftza Shel Bracha, but rather a Chiyuv Askara? And therefore, Tzvi Pesach Frank maintained that if you're not going to make it up, don't go ahead and daven again. And here, of course, you can't make it up because it's Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't daven tefillas nedava. I had told that person, don't daven again. Most posts can assume, like that shuv and har svi and siman and dalet, that you don't go ahead and daven again other such circumstance. But you know, it's a fascinating discussion. To what extent is it inherently part of, or to what extent is it not? You know, maybe this is similar to the following. You know, at the Lel Seder, we're obligating, of course, to eat matzah. We're obligated to drink dalet kosos. Perhaps the gemara that you saw in Pesachim Adav Kuches, you're obligated to do so behesema. You have to recline. Good? A little bit unclear from the gemara. Even though heseba, reclining, is necessary, let's say you eat matzah. Let's say you drink the dalet kosos, but you fail to do heseba. Are you obligated to eat and drink again? Or do you argue that's not true? Clearly, the Gemara says it's necessary, but is it li'ikuv? Is it absolutely indispensable? This is a suffik in Tosos. Imsachim adav kubches amad alev. The Rosh Hashita is if you eat matzah without hesed, you're not yotze. You're not yotze. And therefore, you have to eat another kazayis of matzah. And the Rambam seems to disagree. Because the Rambam doesn't write this explicitly, that if you eat without Haseba, yes, you're Yotze, not your Yotze. But the Rambam doesn't tell us that you have to do it again. It seems to indicate that ideally, yes, but minimally, no. Ooh, but the Briskarav points out a fascinating observation. You know, when you learn the Rambam, it's always very important to assess not merely what the Rambam says, but where the Rambam says it. Where the Rambam says it. Chaim Volozhiner has Tshuvas, Chut HaMashulosh, Siman Yud. Chaim Volozhiner writes that the Ikar Limud HaRambam is juxtaposition, where the Rambam places halacha. It's always fascinating. Maybe the theme of a separate shiur of where the placement of the Rambam is so revealing in terms of the nature of the halacha. But this is a case in point. When the Rambam tells you the need to do heseba during the Seder, the Rambam does not place this halacha in the discussion of matzah, but you know where the Rambam places it? In the discussion of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam tells us one of the main mitzvahs, a mitzvah daraisa of the Seder night, is Chayiv Adam Laharos HaSatzmi. You have to demonstrate as though you are a Ben Chorin. And part of the mitzvah, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, demands that you express, that you manifest, that you display that sense of chayrus. So the Rambam describes Haseiba not in his discussion of the mitzvah of matzah, but rather in the broader discussion of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. In a word, that it seems according to the Rambam, if a person eats matzah without Haseiba, you know what's lacking? Part of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not the mitzvah of matzah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, you would not repeat the eating of matzah. That's a kula of the Rambam. Eat matzah without Haseiba, Yotze. You know what a chumr of the Rambam is? If it's part of the mitzvah of matzah, like the Rosh maintains, then it's necessary in matzah. If it's part of the mitzvah of dalakosos, it's necessary during dalakosos. But you know what the Rambam writes? Ideally, you should do Haseiba, not only for matzah, not only for dalakosos, but even for the appetizer, for the soup, for the dessert. Because if it's part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's not limited to matzah, but it applies in a broader sense. So the Rambam has a chumra nakula. It applies more extensively, more universally, but it won't prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. It's interesting. Maybe before Pesach, you'll learn that machlokes, the Rambam in the Rush. But you know, so imagine, a person is having the lal seder, eats matzah without his seder. He doesn't know what to do. You know, he knows it's a Gemara Pesach and Avkav Ches. He knows it's a Suffolk and Tosis. The Rosh says repeat, the Ram says not. So, like, what's the Pesach? How do we pass the halacha? The person doesn't know. But he's quite fortunate, no? He doesn't live so far away from his Rebbe. So, great. So he goes and he asks his Rebbe, what do you do? So the Rebbe reminds him, we're machmer for the Rosh. And therefore, you have to eat another kazayis of matzah because you weren't yotzei when you ate b'li haseiba. Except, you got it? Except that b'makom rabo, you don't do haseiba. You don't do haseiba. No? So am I going to tell this guy, you know, eat another kazayis of matzah without haseiba because you ate a kazayis of matzah without haseiba? Do I apply that principle of tosis? What are you gaining? What are you doing now you didn't do before? Or do you argue, what do you mean, I'm a lamdan, that the first time I forgot to do Haseiba, it was necessary. Now, it is not necessary at all. The fact that I'm going it and doing it again is really irrelevant. You have to ask yourself the why question. Why was it omitted? Why should it be said? Now, it's similar in a certain sense to the same Talamatar, do you daven again? If you're not going to make that up, it's similar to Yalav Yavo. Do I daven a Shmon Esrei again tonight when it's no longer Rosh Chodesh? Or do you argue that really is not true? Not true at all. Tosus is another case. Tosus and Barachas, the Chavav Medeis, mentions the following case. A person didn't daven mincha on Shabbos. All of a sudden, now, Motzei Shabbos, he has to daven an additional Shmon Esrei. He's chayiv in a tefilas tashlumin. What do you think the person should do when it comes to atachananta? So, the halacha, of course, is as follows. The first Shmon Esrei is the chiyuv of Mariv. The second is a makeup, that's Tashlumei Mincha. So, you know what a person should do? The first Shmon Esrei is with Atachan Antanu. The second Shmon Esrei is not. This guy made a mistake. Not only did he not daven, a further mistake. Now he thought, look, let me first take care of Mincha, and then I'll go on to Mariv. So, the first Shmon Esrei, his mindset was that was a makeup for Mincha. The second one was Mariv. So therefore, he omitted Atachan Antanu Shmon Esrei 1, but said it in Shmon Esrei 2. I said to the person, like, why in the world? He said, what do you mean? The first was a makeup for Mincha, the second was Mariv. I told him, no, that's not right. It's clear in the Gemara, the Rif, that the first is Mariv and the second is the makeup. So what do you do? He flipped the order of a Tefilas Chov and a Tefilas Tashlumi, you know what the Rif writes? He has to daven again. A third Shmon Esrei. Does he say a Tachan Antanu on that third Shmon Esrei? No, certainly not. You just said it in the second Shmon Esrei, no? So I tell the guy, daven again, a Shmon Esrei without a Tachan Antanu. He looks at me, I already daven a Shmon Esrei without a Tachan Antanu. That's what Tosu says. Now, why daven again? Lo yarvi al klum. The Rif says, what do you mean? That the first Shmon Esrei weren't Yotzei because you had in mind that that was a makeup for Mincha. The fact that you're going to recite the identical words, a Shmon Esrei without a Tachan Antanu, because you recited a Shmon Esrei without a Tachan Antanu, is really irrelevant. The question is why? Why? And therefore, that you have to daven again. Tosfos disagrees with the Rif. Now, that's a fascinating application. You know, I would go a step further, and I would argue that that guy, he made a mistake. He didn't daven Mincha and Shabbos. He made another mistake, that he thought the first Shmoneh Esrei is the makeup for Mincha, the second is for Maariv. I would tell you he made a third mistake. He made a third mistake. Let's assume he's right, that the first Shmoneh Esrei was the makeup. The second one was Maariv. Where do you think he should have said Atafan on time? That's not so clear. Let me give you the following case. Guy takes a nap on Shabbos, sleeps through everything, no? Wakes up Sunday morning, yeah? Wakes up Sunday morning. He didn't daven Maariv, he didn't make Kavdallah. He has to daven Shachris, and he has to daven another Shmoneh Esrei, making up for Maariv, right? What would you say Atafan on time? It's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah writes, he said it in the second Shmoneh Esrei. Because the second Shmoneh Esrei is the makeup for Maariv. And that has a Tachan Adanu. Reb Chaim disagreed. Reb Chaim maintained, why is the Tachan Adanu in Maariv? Why exactly is that true? Is it an inherent part of Maariv? Maybe one could argue, certainly not. You know why a Tachan Adanu is in Maariv? You know what? On Shabbos, the Yerushalmi writes, we don't ask for bakashas, right? We omit that whole part of the Shmoneh Esrei. Even when we make a Mishaberach on Shabbos, we say Shabbos imidizok. You know, Shabbos isn't really the right time to ask for personal bakashas, but there's such a tzorech, that's something that is pressing, that's something that is prevalent, and therefore the Mishaberach must indeed be made. Shabbos is typically enough time that you have bakashas. So you know what? Yerushalmi indicates before you engage in bakashas, you know what you have to do? You have to be mabdil ben kodesh lacho. You have to mention that, ooh, we're shifting. Shabbos now has come to an end. You know, if that's true, the placement of Atachan Antonin is beautiful, now. Atachome, logam das. Is that a bakasha? Not really, no? That's a statement of fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you grant wisdom, no? That's a statement of fact. The first bakasha is Chaneinu Mitcha. Ooh, before Chaneinu Mitcha, you have to make Havdalah. That's exactly the juxtaposition, the placement of Atachan Antanu. Exactly at that point. Maybe the reason Atachan Antanu is in Maariv is not inherently linked to Maariv, because Maariv is the first Tfilas Chol. But if you were to have an unusual case where Maariv would not be the first Tfilas Chol, the guy slipped through, woke up Sunday morning, his first Tfilas Chol is Shachris, so Atachan Antanu, Reb Chaim says, should be set in Shachris. Meaning that this guy who made that mistake, now not only did he fail to daven Mincha and Shabbos, but he flipped the order of the Tashlumin and the Tfilas Tova, maybe even according to his mistake, he still should have said Atachan Antanu in the first Shmoneh Esrei, because that was the first Tfilas Chol. There are many, many other variations of this, but It's an important machlokes, Tosfos and the Rash. Are there cases where you go back and daven an additional Shmoneh Esrei, even though you're going to be reciting exactly that which you said? So here I'll tell you the following. Just to segue, okay, to link into the Atachan Antanu, no? To ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this das, no? This I will tell you, I think, is very relevant to Parshas Noach and to Parshas Lech Lecha. There is a Ramban toward the beginning of Parshas Noach, in Paragvah Pasuk Yutes, asks a somewhat simple question. The answer is so profound, it informs every aspect of Avodah Hashem. Ramban writes the following. Noach was told to construct this huge day. Now, quite immense work. Rashi quotes the Medrash, 120 years of effort in order to go ahead and to construct such a teva. The Ramban points out that there's something that is incredibly difficult, you know, that the numbers are off. The Ramban writes, there's no way in the world that this teva could have housed all the animals that were necessary, all the animals that entered the teva. The Ramban writes, even if the teva would have been 10 times its size, that's the figure the Ramban writes, Still, it would have been too small to do so. The Ramban quotes the Gemara in Chulin that one species, the ayah, had 120 different varieties. All of them were in the teva. It was an impossible task to go ahead and to construct a teva of those dimensions that would house each and every animal. How could that possibly be? So the Ramban writes, there's only one answer. The answer is just one word. No. The Ramban writes, it was a nes. It was an absolute nes. Okay. The Ramban asks, if it was an absolute nes, why did the teva have to be so large? That's Akasha the Ramban writes. Why did it have to be so big? It would have been a greater nes had the teva been smaller. Imagine you build a small ship, and one after one, all the animals just enter. An absolute nes. Why did it have to be so large? Why did Noach have to invest 120 years to build the teva when you know that the only way it can happen is b'derech hanes? So the Ramban writes that, you know what the Torah is telling you, you know? Nisim don't happen in a vacuum. Nisim don't happen yesh miayim. You have to position yourself to be the recipient of an ace. The Ramban writes, the first step is that you have to do everything you possibly can. That mashabiyat adam asas. You have to invest enormous effort. And only when that's done can you take a step back and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform such an ace. The ace would not have happened if Noah did not exert those years and years and years of effort. Ramban writes that's true of every nes in Torah, every nes in Navi, and I would tell you that's true of every aspect of Avodah Hashem. Without significant investment, you're not going to be able to position yourself to be the recipient of great bracha in Siyata Dishmaya. You know, the Gemara says in Nedarim that Moshe Rabbeinu was an unbelievable gibor. He had incredible strength because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah describes, single-handedly erected the Mishkan. The Midrash writes that Aaron HaKohen was a person of great strength because you know how the Levim were initiated, 22,000 Levim? Aaron had to physically pick up and wave Hanafa, each and every Levi. Imagine that you have to do that to 22,000 people. Yeah, so Chazal tell us that Aaron was an incredible gibor. You know what's so difficult about that? Yeah, Pirusha Rasha, Marsha, Nidarm, Daflamet Ches, that this was all an ace. This was all an ace. The fact that the Mishkan was erected the way Moshe Rabbeinu did so, clearly, the Gemara points out, was an ace. It was an ace that Aaron was able to do so. If it's an ace, how is that an indicator that Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron HaKohen possessed any level of strength at all? You snap your fingers and it happens. That doesn't reflect any bodily strength that you have, but rather, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu performs an incredible ace. I will tell you the answer is the Ramban. Because without that sense of Gvura, Nisim do not happen. You know what the Gvura of Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen was? Not that they were physically strong, that they're able to construct the Mishkan. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do that, which was seemingly impossible, to erect the Mishkan, to wave each and every Levi. Like, what do you do when you are given a task that seems to be beyond your reach? You know what the answer is? You do. You just do. No? And if you invest immense effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant you unbelievable siyata dishmaya. You know, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos that describes that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was the Bor Sud She'eino Ma'abetim. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus had a photographic mind. Perfect recall. No, everything in, nothing out, like just incredible. But what always bothered me is like, you know, why is this a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? You know, a Mishnah is supposed to inform your Avodah Hashem. This isn't a biography. You want to read a biography, Elazar ben Hyrcanus, it's worth mentioning that he had a photographic memory. I understand, but this is supposed to be a blueprint for life. How is my Avodah Hashem enriched by Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus perfectly able to recall everything that he learned? Like, what exactly is the takeaway? What exactly is the Musar Haskel? So what I often tell my Talmidim is exactly this point. There's another Gemara, Sukkot Av Chafes, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Mi Yomai Lo kidmani adon lebeis hamedrash. It never happened, not once, never happened, that anyone ever got to the Beis Medrash before v'lo bezonarkis. And v'lo hinachti bo adon liyotzasi. It never happened that Rav Zonarkis left the Beis Medrash and someone else was still sitting there. Every day, without exception, Rav Zonarkis was the first one in, he was the last one out. You know, if anyone could have gotten by, like showing up late and leaving early, it was Rav Zonarkis, because he had this photographic memory. You know, he could like come to Seder for an hour, and that's it, no? He would retain everything. But he was the first one in, the last one out. So here I would tell you the following suggestion, but I think it's clear, I think it's compelling. You know, there's something called Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It describes Rabbi Elazar Hurkanus in his youth, when he started learning, he struggled. He really struggled. He really had difficulty learning. That's like Amaliel. Now, he was like the Bor Suchinam Abitip. Why is that considered to be a struggle? You know what the answer is? He wasn't born the Bor Suchinam Abitip. He wasn't born with perfect recall. He became that individual. He became that individual because lo kidmani adon lebeis hamedrash. Because he positioned himself. He exerted tremendous effort and hasmada and amelos, and all of a sudden, nisim just started happening. That's what he became. That's why it's a mishnah in Maseches Avos. Because if this was a natural faculty, it doesn't teach me much. But if it's a model of through amelos and through hasmada, you can emerge, you can become, because grasp and retention is not just simply a gift that you're born with, but it's something you develop. So therefore, that's a powerful lesson. That's why it's in Maseches Avos, Maseches Avos. Yesterday, I had to deliver a sichan or samas. I mentioned this point. So I wasn't sure what to speak about exactly, you know, but in the Beis Medrash, they have a mishnah yomis, you know? Like, every day there's a mishnah. So I look, hey, it's that mishnah in the Maseches Avos, not like a perikeia. So I mentioned, on your mishnah yomis, this is, I think, the Musar Haskalah takeaway. And they told me that sign's been up there for 10 years. No one does it. They don't rotate any. It still was the Siyata Deshmaya, but that, it's an important lesson. You have to realize that you can emerge, you can become. These are not just simply given talents. And this I will tell you. This is a Gemara, Nitan, the Ayin Mabez, Ma Yasa Odom Biyakka. What do you have to do to be able to grow in your own learning? How do you emerge in the Torah session? So the Gemara says, number one, Yarba bi Yeshiva bi Yamai Bechachma. That you have to learn. And there are no shortcuts. You really have to invest the time. And you have to try to curtail diversion. Don't become distracted. Focus on the learning that you do. And the Gemara tells us something amazing, that haba asuv lo asa biyadam. There are many that did that. They weren't successful. They didn't succeed. They weren't able to, they learned bahasmada. They gave it their beshan. The Gemara says, because that's true, they did that. But there's another component that was missing. And that's critical. Number one, you have to position yourself. So yarba bi yeshiva, position yourself. But that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. The Gemara says, Yevakesh mimisha chachma shalom. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata deshmaya. It's not up to you. All you do, like the Ramban writes regarding the Teva, is you position yourself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tap you. You have to daven. And the Gemara concludes, Daha b'lohalo sagi. Both are necessary, but neither one is sufficient. A pretty amazing Gemara. Need the final days. A person just learns, you're not going to know Maseches Kedushin. You just daven, you're not going to know Maseches Kedushin. Both are absolutely necessary. During Seder, you're going to learn Basman Atzuma. And during davening, you're going to daven with intensity, fervent kavana of Atachonev. Without that, it's not going to happen. It's really not only up to you. In life, you just position yourself. And then you're mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should be the recipient of incredible, incredible bracha. The tefillah is never that you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be able to engage in Avodas Hashem effortlessly. No? That's kind of an American idea. No? That without effort, a person can go ahead and gain. No? For us, we recognize it can take 120 years to build a table. And you kind of know the numbers don't quite add up, but you position yourself and you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya every day. Nisim happen. Aval misecha. Shebacho yom imanu. There's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Nitzavim that describes the two people who are starving, who enter a room, and there's food, but with one hitch. You know? The food, the Medrash says, is suspended from the ceiling. So the Medrash describes that the fool, the tipesh, just walks out. This is beyond my reach. This is inaccessible. The Pikeach says, Bahalo mitala osa. Well, someone must have put it there. Meaning, there must be a way that you can access, that you can reach. It must be the case. You just have to exert that effort in order to access that which is necessary. And the Midrash writes that that's the lesson of the Torah Sashem. Ki karav alecha hadavra me'od, b'ficho levav chalas osa. This is not beyond your reach. This is something that is absolutely accessible. You just have to work at it. Lonely flesi mimcha, v'lorachoka. It's not something which is distant in any shape or form. But you know, like, the Midrash writes, you walk into a base Midrash, the Midrash writes that this isn't my mashal. You see that there are people around you, the Rebbeim, the Rosh Yeshiva, they really know an unbelievable amount. And I never learned this before, no? That's what the Midrash writes. But you know what? They were once in your shoes also. They once walked into the base Midrash and they really didn't know everything they know today. But the Midrash writes, one taf at a time, incrementally, all of a sudden, you emerge. You emerge. The Midrash has an incredible way of reading the pasuk. Niflesi mimcha. The Midrash writes the following. V'im niflesi, if you think that the Torah Hashem is beyond your reach, it's inaccessible, it's unattainable, comma, mimcha. That's your mindset. But that's far from the truth. Right? That's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and created the Torah Hashem. But rather, ki karav alecha, davar ma'od, v'ficho levavcha, la'asosa. So this is the opportunity that you have. You have to immerse yourself in the Torah Hashem. You have to very simply, right? Be mishtadel and be mispalel. That's it. Life is not so complicated. Now, a person will ask you, what do you have to do in this world? Just very simply, no? Exert effort, avodas Hashem, and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya. And you're guaranteed success. It's a Gemara Mefureshes, and nida and dav, ayin amud beis. Now, I quoted a number of Marma Komos, just take a look at that Gemara. Now, nida daf ayin amud beis. Ma yasa adam viyachka. Now, this is what you do. This is the opportunity that you have. Right? You have to intensely learn these sugyas, and you must chazar. You don't have a choice. You have to engage in chazara. The Gemara writes in Menachos, Nav Tzadites, that you know what? You're not allowed to forget your learning. You're just not allowed to. No? That kol ha-mishakeach dover echa memuda. You can't forget anything that you learn. It's unbelievable, no? That's a Gemara. But what do you do? What do you mean? I forget things, no? I learn, you know? You forget things. So I'll tell you the following. You know, sometimes, onus rachmanapacha, you know? Sometimes a person can do his best and accidents happen and accidentally forget something. But you know what? If you only chazer two or three or four times, that's not onus rachmanapacha. Well, of course. How did you expect to retain? No? A person doesn't chazer. The fact that he doesn't remember is because of some unforeseen accident. I'll tell you from the scratch, you're not going to remember, no? Because you didn't invest enough. If a person constantly reviews that which he's learning, you're going to remember, and you'll be excused if you don't. But not without that sense of effort. That's something that one has to do. I remember when I was young, I heard Rabbi Yosef speak about Chazar. It was just mind-boggling, no? Because he had this photographic mind. And he was telling us how often he chazers everything he learned. That when he learned a Seches Yevamos, his young child, the first time, he chazered 60 times. Like, that's unbelievable. No? I mentioned that psak of my great grandmother, Tzipe Safrank. He would chazer Maseches Shabbos every Shabbos. Every Shabbos. No? Yeah. Think about what we do on Shabbos. No? Every Shabbos. You know, when he was older, it was harder for him on Masei Yom Kippur to build the sukkah. It was hard at that point. So what do you do if you can't like build the sukkah, you know? So you quickly grab a bite, it's Masei Yom Kippur, and then you learn all the Masei Sukkah. Now that was the routine. Because you know, you can do it. You're not gonna do it the first time around, but you can do it. You can really do it. And if you don't, and you think you can't, Mimcha, that's your mindset. That's your mindset. That's not how Kadosh Baruch Hu created you. You have to recognize that. You're capable, you're empowered of soaring in Avodas Hashem. I knew your Rebbeim when they were much, much, much younger. Much, much, much younger. You know, they walked into the Beis Medrash not knowing nearly as much as they know now. You know, but one daf at a time, and one zman at a time, and one blot at a time, and all of a sudden, emerge. Right? These are nisim that we experience each and every day. So you have to position yourself. I would tell you that lesson of the Ramban, the Tevas Noah, is the most important lesson you can imagine in life. Sometimes you're given a challenge that seems insurmountable. Noah had to build this teva. Aaron had to do Hanaf and Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go ahead and erect a Mishkan. And the Ran writes in Darmadav Ches, and you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm a Furish Aran. No, it sounds like, how is that going to happen? You know what the answer is? You position yourself. You position yourself. And then you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu for unbelievable Siyata Dishmaya.